name is Barry Allen. I am the fastest man alive.
RandomChatter.com presents a Flash podcast.
You see that red blur?
Dedicated to the discussion of the Flash television series.
A lot to discuss.
Scarlet Velocity.
Run, Barry, run!
Welcome to Scarlet Velocity, a Flash podcast. Thanks for slowing down for a moment. I am your host, Josh.
And I'm Sean Baez. I just thought I'd pop in for a quick discussion.
Well, you've discovered the number one podcast dedicated to the CW television show, The Flash, with discussion and commentary on the various episodes of that show. And so, broadcasting tonight from our supervillain basement jail, my friend Sean, Jay is ready to talk about another great episode of The Flash. I'm very excited about this one.
This was a very interesting episode. I thought it moved along nicely. This is episode 12 from season one. It's called Crazy For You. You know, the closest we got to Madonna, I think, was maybe a little bit of Shauna's dressing. I mean, she kind of had some Madonna-ish looking clothes.
That may be the closest you got to Madonna, but
whatever.
Can't speak for me.
It's originally aired on February 3rd, 2015, written by the, I was going to say twins, but we don't know that they're twins, but the brother writing team of Aaron and Todd Helbing, and directed by Rob Hardy. So, where's Barry? Where is he? Where is he? Peekaboo! Yeah, that's who's up against Flash this week. She's Shauna Baez. And since that fateful night in which everyone got superpowers, you know, except for me and presumably Josh, she has learned to teleport herself any place that she can see. After getting her imprisoned boyfriend out of jail, they start to cause trouble. And Flash has to find a way to stop someone that can be somewhere faster than him. Maybe Caitlin and Barry can think of a way while relaxing with a drink or two, or 12, at the karaoke bar. Meanwhile, Cisco's not giving up on finding Ronnie, but in order to do that, he's channeling his inner Clarice as he brings help from Hartley Rathaway. That's it. But you and I are smart enough to know that the Pied Piper has something up his sleeve, and in his flute, too. The list of threats to the Flash are growing fast, maybe even too fast for Barry to handle. Henry Allen puts it all in perspective on another great week of The Flash.
There's so much juicy goodness in this episode.
This episode had... It's not the best episode so far. I mean, I think there are other ones that excel in that because of the excitement and the pace and stuff. But any opportunity that we get with Henry, the waterworks just come on.
And oh, man.
I both love and hate John Wesley Shipp for that. I don't blame him necessarily, but I think, you know, some people might think it's kind of sappy. The stuff, but I mean, there's a real heartfelt, emotional resonance between the father and his son, and you know, maybe you need to be a father to kind of appreciate that. I don't know, but that's what's responding to it. I think.
Have you heard people saying that it was sappy?
I have not, but you know, I think
I can see where. Yeah.
People that are callous about that kind of stuff.
But, yeah, I agree.
You know, and it's like, well, it's just a TV show. But I don't know. I mean, I think TV shows are getting a little bit better at really getting these emotional moments. Like, this is not a kind of these emotional moments that we're getting in The Flash, the 2014 version, in 2015 version of The Flash. There's nothing like this back in the 1990 version of The Flash.
Right. There was really nothing like this in the 90s on TV, really.
Right. I mean, yeah. It's just a different way to make television. And it's just, I think, you know, we are connecting with the characters better than we have in previous years and seasons and stuff like that. So,
Well, and part of that is, and we'll get into this with specific characters as we talk about this, but, you know, to me, part of that, and part of the popularity of this particular show, because it is growing in popularity, is that character development and the connection between them, you know? And some shows do a pretty good job of it. It's just that the characters don't jive together. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, there's been some pretty good shows with some pretty good characters, but they just don't interact with each other quite as well. You'll come across them like that sometimes. So this one is working real well. So, well, before we start talking about all that sappy stuff, just a couple little pieces of news. One of these really excites me. This first thing really excites me. Now, we have seen already a couple actors from, like you said, the 90s Flash show up in this. Of course, we have John Leslie Shipp and Dr. Tina McGee herself.
Yes.
But we're going to get somebody else, and I'm excited. If you... let's see. How can I put this? If you are lucky enough to have seen the 90s series, you will know. I'm going to say lucky enough. I love that series. You can
it
still
grew
listen
on
to
me
us.
When we went and did the little marathon watch of it. You know,
yes.
I mean, it's campy, but it's fun.
It is campy. I am really, in my old age, I'm starting to realize I actually really enjoy campy things. If you want to still listen to us just talk about it and not watch the series, you can still do that on our special much earlier before the season started. But anyway, you'll know if you saw that series that there were two police officers that worked at the same police station as Barry Allen, Officer Bellows and Officer Murphy. And they were played by Vito D'Ambrosio. It's hard to say. Who played Officer Bellows and Biff Maynard, which is easy to say, who played Officer Murphy. So Officer Bellows and Murphy were on every episode, which was, I think, pretty rare for anybody but the main characters.
Yeah,
Not even sure the chief was on every episode.
The chief was not on every episode. Barry and Tina and the two officers and Barry's assistant, which
I'm blanking on his name too.
Oh, Julio.
Julio, yes. How could we forget Julio? And the dog. I think the dog was on every episode.
And
but
dog is close.
Well, anyway, Officer Bellows and Officer Murphy were on every episode. And they were, and this is not a reflection on them, but they were the comic relief, basically.
They were Abbott and Costello, definitely, for the show.
Well, they're going to, Officer Bellows, Vito D'Ambrosio, is going to appear on this version of The Flash. I'm guessing in a little bit different incarnation, but I bet you they'll still put a little bit of humor in there. Look for him on an upcoming episode. Unfortunately, Officer Murphy, Biff Maynard, he passed away last year, actually, in May, in 2014. So I'm guessing, will not appear.
Yeah, so I guess it was not common knowledge that he had passed away. John Wesley Shipp actually tweeted that he had passed away because I like the wiki page or the IMDb page for him had not been updated. I've heard some fans online say, you know, it'd be nice if there was a picture of him, maybe when the Vito D'Ambrosio his character shows up.
You know, that is a great idea.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, I love when they do things like that, like in, what was it? There was a reference to, in Indiana Jones 4 to Sean Connery, and they had the picture of him on the desk and stuff like that, which is a nice way to put, you know, characters that, or actors that can't appear for whatever reason, whether they want to or not, or, you know, are passed away or something like that.
Sean Connery hadn't died by then.
Sean Connery had not died, right? He just didn't want to. He's retired. He had retired by that point from acting.
Right.
So, now at some point in the future, when you're listening to this podcast, Sean Connery is dead. But at this point, he's not. Just to be clear on that. I don't know that he's going to be playing Officer Bellows. That's not what it sounds like. But he will be appearing in the episode with the Trickster, who is played by the returning Mark Hamill as well. So I think that's a pretty special milestone for the show as well.
Excellent. Excellent. Yeah, I am really liking these little cameos. And hey, they put enough Easter eggs in here. I'm sure they can find a way to get Officer Murphy in there somehow. Even if they name a street after him or something, you know, come on. We'll have to watch for that, too.
That'd be pretty cool, yeah.
So, all right, well, one more a little piece of news. It's related to Arrow and The Flash. And I think, you know, we talked about last week how you probably know Brandon Routh is going to be playing the Atom on Arrow.
Mm-hmm.
And his character, we told you, will be appearing on The Flash, but Grant Gustin posted a picture of the actual Atom suit, which was and kind of in the background, the Flash suit was right there. So I'm assuming that it's somewhere in Star Labs. And I think we speculated, or maybe we had heard this somewhere, that he needs a little help with his suit. So he brings it to Star Labs, or maybe Felicity gets him to take it there. So now the actual Atom suit, again, that's been flown around on the internet too. Either somebody, you know, released it from the thing, or Brandon Routh did, or something. And it's pretty cool looking, by the way. But it's going to show up on Arrow in episode 15, so it'll be actually before the Flash episode. But I just thought it was neat that it was still showing up on the Flash, so I thought I would share that.
Well, yeah, and the fact that Grant was able to tweet out the first picture of it, so that was pretty cool.
Very nice. All right. So, well, let's get into this episode, because there's a lot of neat things to discuss, even though it was not the most action-packed episode. It had a lot of really cool things in it. So, Crazy for You. Now, did you, when you first saw this title, did you first think of the Madonna song?
That's all I've been singing for the past couple days.
Yeah, they gotta stop doing that.
As someone who grew up in the 80s, how can I not hear the phrase "Crazy for You" and not think about the Madonna song,
the classic song. So. I remember her singing that in the movie Vision Quest. We're a big wrestling family, so that was a big movie in our house. But now, thinking about this title and trying to put it within context of the story and the characters this week, I found a few connections. Clearly, the most obvious, I think, is what the main title was all about, was Peekaboo, who Caitlin named for Shauna Baez. Well, I thought that was good, the way she named Peekaboo. But yeah. She was definitely crazy for her loser boyfriend that was in jail.
Clay, I believe, right? I think that was his
Clay. Name. Yeah, I did not write this down in my notes. I'm trying to remember from the times I watch it, but did they say what he was in jail for specifically, or was it just kind of a petty robbery kind of thing?
No, I don't think there was an actual reason. It probably something he had been doing with the crime boss, and he got pinched for
right.
it.
Right, but it did sound like he'd been there for a while, because she presumably got her powers during the accident of the particle accelerator.
Right, and he had been in prison prior to that.
Right, right, because he asked her why she didn't come before, but she'd been trying to control these powers that have been developing. So I thought that was kind of interesting. I hope they don't have to do that, you know, as the series progresses, you know, and people start showing up with powers. But why didn't you do that 3 years ago?
Yeah.
I was busy, you know, I got things pop up, work. You know.
Yeah, that will be interesting. And I never actually thought about that. As they go on with the series and start introducing new characters, it's like at that point, the powers for the character will be, you know, a couple years old or whatever. So
maybe there'll be another particle accelerator accident.
Each season they have to keep, oh, I think we've got it fixed.
This time for sure. Well, so she was, you know, she was crazy for her boyfriend enough that she planned on breaking him out of jail, and then following him and then doing more jobs, to get more money to pay off the boss. That is definitely a sign of crazydom when it comes to love. You gotta know what you're up against there with love, and know when it's bad for you. So was there things in this other characters that they were kind of blinded by this, like she was?
I think Caitlin definitely was being a little crazy in a number of ways. She's obviously been fixated on Ronnie, and you know, has seemingly kind of come to the end of her rope on that, saying, "I think I'm done with that." But she really let her hair down, and you know, went crazy on a little drinking binge in this episode. So there's definitely that element of it.
See, I think I don't know. I felt like, even though she said she's kind of moving on, and she and Barry talked about her moving on from Ronnie, I don't see that happening. I mean, I don't see her really being able to do this, especially since Ronnie's still around.
Right. I think it is probably a little more lip service than, you know, because her heart is probably still broken from the whole thing. And intellectually, she may be saying she needs to move on. But I think, you know, I think there's more to it than that. But she may not really understand all of the emotions that she's having because she is so cold. So.
Well, not yet, but
well,
we're thinking she's going to.
Yeah. That's soon, someday here.
Well, I still, speaking of Ronnie, I mean, they revealed some stuff about Ronnie, which we will discuss, I'm sure, how it's not really Ronnie anymore. But it just seems strange to me that they would brush that off so much after the connection with her and the emotion that she's been having with Ronnie and finding he's back, to not have that romantic idea on the story in the storyline. It seems like a kind of a strange direction. So I think she's still going to be very much connected to Ronnie, and I think Ronnie's got to be in there somewhere. We don't really know what this firestorm is going to look like, but in the comics, I mean, he did have, I don't know, you feel like he had kind of an individual personality, even though it was him and the doctor.
In the comics, the way that I always read him was that he was Ronnie. He spoke as Ronnie, and since Professor Stein always showed up as like a little ghost head next to him and was speaking in his head, so I felt that it was like primarily the Ronnie body and
it was like a little
personality.
A little Jiminy Cricket, you know, hanging out with Ronnie, right?
Yeah, kind of.
That's how I thought, too. But it doesn't seem like they're presenting that in this. It seems like they're almost saying, hey, you know, Ronnie's gone. So
more of that
to come, I'm sure.
Or even really merged as, you know, one entity. Like, it's,
oh, geez, it's
half
the fly.
Stein, half Ronnie. Yeah.
Well, as long as he doesn't, like, try to throw up on Cisco's hand or something. I don't, that's, ugh. All right, so now, we had a little bit more love teased in this episode. I watched this. I watched this show very closely with my wife and my daughters. So we saw the preview for last week and saw Linda. Now, my youngest daughter, interesting enough, side note, she doesn't know, you know, about the comics and things like that. I educate her as it comes up, but she was almost thinking that this girl that Barry was getting with might be Snart's sister.
Ooh,
but we found out that would have been an interesting story, you know, but we found out, you know, of course it was Linda Park, who I guess we don't know isn't Snart's sister, but you know, it probably isn't. But okay, so Barry meets Linda Park. Now you and I know Linda Park as a character in the comics, mm-hmm. who was dating the Flash. But not this version of the Flash.
Flash 2, yeah, Wally West.
Right. So they're introducing her. Now, this isn't the first time Linda, the character Linda Park, has been seen, right? Didn't we see her on TV?
Yeah, she was. It was a different actress. I actually mm-hmm. looked this up. I didn't get the name of the actress. But, yeah, there was another Asian actress or Asian American actress that played Linda Park on Channel 52, episode like 3 or 4, I think, giving a news report because she's been a news reporter. So now they're changing it around a little bit because it seemed like she was the news reporter. Now, you know what? Maybe I'm thinking it was in Arrow.
It might have been an arrow, but I'm almost thinking she showed up more than once. It could be, I mean, because that stands out. I mean, the name Linda Park, obviously, because it was Wally's girlfriend. So, okay, so
but it
now
wasn't on TV, kind of in the background. It was never that overt.
Right, and they never talked to her, I guess, personally.
Right. She would just be a talking head in the background. And the thing is that if she had been on TV before, well, now she's running the sports. She's doing sports writing for the newspaper,
right? Right. So they've changed the character a bit. Maybe there's two Linda Parks. It can't be that unusual of a name. All right. So anyway, so now we've got Iris in the background there. We've got Linda Park, both girlfriends of the Flash in the comics. So we have some potential, love triangle situations here. Is he going to go crazy for it? My wife was extremely disappointed. You know, Armando wrote in just before we started recording. He wanted a female's point of view about this love story. So you want to hear my wife's?
Oh, sure.
We got to the end of this episode, and she was angry. She said, "That's it? They showed this whole preview. It seemed like the whole episode was going to be about Barry and Linda.
Yeah.
And really, we didn't get very much at all.
That didn't come until, like, the second half hour, I think.
No, and even then, it wasn't hardly anything there, you know?
Right.
They focused on a lot of other things. So she was a little disappointed in that. So there's the female perspective, at least one female's perspective. So
thanks, honey!
I don't know. This seems interesting. They're bringing this on awful quick, and Iris, you know, just moved in with Eddie. So now I'm feeling like we're still getting a little Ross Rachel vibe here. Iris seems a little jealous.
I don't know.
Not feeling that yet.
Just
surprised.
No, yeah, I didn't. It was more of just like, oh wow. First off, Grant Gustin was doing something funny with his mouth. He was like almost embarrassed to say that, oh, I'm not here to see you. I've got a date, and is like. His lips were like moving away. He was talking on the side of his mouth, kind of. He looked really uncomfortable. I'm not sure what he was trying to do with it, but it was just an interesting little take. You know, you can read into something about how Barry's reacting to this. But I felt she was just a little more interested. I mean, I think there is a little bit of jealousy behind the whole thing because, of course, hey, I'm moving in with my boyfriend, Eddie. Oh, gosh, Iris, I really love you. Mic drop. Boom, I'm out of here. And so now everything that comes after that is like, well, Barry's now told me he loves me, but he's going out with this other woman. You know, so I think there's always just that in the background. So, I mean, I guess there's jealousy, but it's not like anything. It wasn't like, glare or...
Anger. Yeah, I agree with that. No anger, just more of a kind of shock and surprise and almost like, I always thought he'd kind of be there just in case this whole Eddie thing didn't work out.
Yeah.
But we'll see. We don't
know
much about
Linda. Maybe they signed a piece of paper that says, you know, if they're not married by the time they're 40, they'll be able to come back and marry each other.
That never works, by the way.
Never works.
Yeah. But, you know, we don't know much about Linda Park, but what we do know is that she's a very, very, very forward person.
Oh, my goodness.
Very strong-willed again, which I guess you can see what kind of woman Barry goes for.
Tiger. Tiger. T-I-G-E-R.
Yeah. Anybody ever bump their phone for you? Give them your number?
When I was dating you, we didn't bump phones. No.
Well, I like what they're doing so far. Hopefully they'll continue. And I would like to see a little bit of uncomfortable jealousy from Iris.
It'd be interesting. Yeah.
So, all right. So what do you think? Is that all of the crazy lovish kind of things? It is almost Valentine's Day after all.
Oh, you know, I didn't even. That's a good point. I didn't even put that part together on that. So.
Yeah, well, we got one more episode before Valentine's Day, but so we got Peekaboo, we got Barry, Caitlin, and Ronnie. Is that it?
I think Hartley is still crazy. I mean, he's just crazy.
He is crazy.
The fact that we put, you know, kind of reference to Silence of the Lambs and Clarice and stuff in the intro, is kind of telling about it. He wasn't really going after Wells this week. He was kind of taking his disdain out on Sisko. And, yeah, he just goes on to prove that he's just kind of loose cannon. You can't really, I mean, I think as viewers, we can kind of go, oh, well, we can kind of predict what he's going to do. But, you know, he was really, getting in Sisko's head and playing on, like, there was a quote from him. He said, something about the unknown or something like that, that is really bothering you, or what was it? Because basically he was teasing Sisko with information and tell right. Sisko just like, you know what, I've really got to know, so I'm going to let him out. So,
well, all right. So let me ask you now. Now, was letting Hartley out, was Sisko letting Hartley out? I mean, was that really as dumb, you know, as...
No,
throwing a pass on the last play on the goal line when you have Marshawn Lynch, was it as stupid as that? Or
no, it was not as stupid as that. That was,
oh, okay.
That was pretty stupid. I mean, sorry to say, but it is. And so, but no, Sisko doesn't cheat. So, I think Sisko, we didn't know he was taking the precautions, but. He puts the handcuffs on him, right? So he's like, okay, he's thinking ahead a little bit. And then Hartley attacks him. And then we have this weird little fight from these two geeky guys that obviously can't fight.
That was really cool.
It was amusing. It was amusing in like, boy, that looks kind of like a bad stunt gone wrong or something like that. But
that's what all my fights look like. What are you talking about?
And slap fight. And but then Hartley... I mean, then Sisko pulls out this little gadget and uses sound waves, vibrations, whatever, to make Hartley stop, which is great. I'm like, okay, cool. So he did have a plan. So that's totally cool. So we got this, and then Hartley's like, fine, but I know the next thing, and you're going to need to take the handcuffs off. And I'm thinking, all right, well, that's not too bad, right? He's still got this device. Except the problem is that Sisko, like, was so wrapped up in looking at the video playback, I guess, that he didn't see Hartley coming after him. Which, if you're going to take the guy out of the handcuffs, you really need to keep a better eye on him.
Yeah, yeah. Sisko's not very good at this, but
no.
I got to thinking, you know, after watching that whole thing. Man, why would he do that? Why would he do that? But it really made sense to me. Number one, he really, really wants to know what's going on with Ronnie. You know, he's kind of, I almost want to say he's almost obsessed with getting to the bottom of what happened to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he feels responsible, you know? I mean, you can't blame the guy. I totally understand that. But the other thing I think is made this work for me, and even though I know it really seemed dumb, but it also made a lot of sense, is... I really like the relationship between Hartley and Sisko now. I actually more than anybody else. But they both think they're smarter than each other. And
yeah.
I think Sisko believes he is truly smarter than Hartley. And I really don't think he thought he could outwit him. And I think he's learned a little lesson here for sure.
And I honestly think that Sisko is not smarter than Hartley, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yes, I agree with you. I don't think Sisko is capable of thinking the way that Hartley does. And Hartley can kind of think of every angle, even if it's kind of a sinister angle, you know? Whereas
yeah.
Sisko always kind of looks on the good side of things and the positive side of things and the right side of things, like what is right to do. Like he would never... Well, I shouldn't say never. I was going to say he would never cheat to win, you know? But he almost kind of did that with the handcuffs, but
yeah,
but not really. I mean,
well,
it was really more.
I mean,
of a
he did
precaution.
Make the threat. He's like, "You do that again, and I will not. I will turn this on, and I will not turn it off." I mean, he was really pissed. But
he also told Captain Cold that he was going to shoot him with a vacuum cleaner. So you know,
yeah,
it could have been an empty threat.
You're right, right. And that's the thing. Would he have done it? And was it an empty threat? It's, who knows?
I think Sisko learned a lot from this. I don't think he would let him get the drop on him again like that. So I think he's learned a lesson here. But I agree with you. I think Hartley is smarter.
The other lesson I think they learned, which I just don't understand. I mean, again, you've got these brilliant people, and maybe they're just trying to show that, you know, even brilliant people can miss, like, the obvious sometimes, you know, because, you know, they're so wrapped up in this higher level thinking. But I would have thought that these brilliant folks at Star Labs would have removed the dude's hearing aids that he had already shown were dangerous and could be used for as an explosive or whatever, you know, however that detonated the
whatever he wants to do with him, yeah.
And then he pulls it out again this week and uses it for, you know, pretty much the same effect by giving, you know, the feedback. It's like, that's gross. Why did you guys put those ones back in? Why don't you just give them, like, you know, little just regular, you know, over-the-ear hearing aids or something.
And I thought about that, and I don't have a really good answer. The only thing I could come up with was, well, maybe they did give him something different, and he kind of managed. You know, he's a smart guy. Maybe he managed to rig whatever he had, but that doesn't. Come on, really? I mean, they'd be watching him closer than that.
He
I would have thought.
Paper clip. And some chewing gum.
it's MacGyver is down there in their
right
down there in their underground supervillain basement jail.
Yes.
Well, yeah, I don't know. They need to keep an eye on him. I also got to kind of thinking about those cells, and you know, you got all these. Especially now, you're starting to get more and more people down there.
Yeah.
I mean, do they let them do anything? It seems like they're really setting themselves up for failure here, just keeping these people in these empty cells.
Oh. Yeah, didn't I think I raised this point like 4 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago? Yeah, it's very inhumane. I mean, you got the people down there. Well, you know, you've got the one guy that can turn into the mist. So he's, you know, whatever. He just floats around. But you've got, you know, Shauna now in there. And
so what? He doesn't get a TV or anything because he floats around? You just, think he's okay with that? Entertain yourself.
Well, any food they give him, it just goes right through him. I mean, so. But you've got Shauna in this reflective, I mean, and they're not that big, you know? And
no,
so
I know.
She can't see out. There's just this ominous jailer voice coming into her. It's like, Shauna, you know, don't try to escape because you can't. And it's, I mean, and, you know, she broke her boyfriend out of prison and stuff like that. And, yes, she has superpowers, but. I mean, at this point, I don't know how dangerous she is. Other than, you know, she'd probably continue doing that. So I guess they do need to contain her in some fashion. But
well, and I think part of the problem or reason that they do it, I guess, is because where else are they going to put them? I mean, they can't put them in a regular jail.
Right.
But I think, you know, it seems to me like they really need to start, and they may have to do this, but now that Flash is out there and people know about Flash, maybe they need to work with the police to find places for these metahumans, so they're not the ones responsible for them.
Yeah, they need to create a Supermax, like not at Star Labs.
And even I would think even the public would start to kind of get up in arms about that if they found out they were keeping them there at Star Labs, because I'm sure they don't have a lot of trust for them right now. Although Harrison Wells did apologize.
Oh, it's so, fine then.
It's all good. Yeah. He failed the city, but it's all good now. all right. So a question about they went and found out. So Hartley took and he has a lot of things that I don't know how Hartley would get, but he's a smart guy. So he has them. But he's got footage of Professor Stein at the moment of conception, I guess, with Ronnie. My question while I was watching is, why was Stein at Star Labs?
That is a good question. That is probably the question to be asking. He appeared to have some device in his hands. He was outside in that I don't know, like that alleyway, the stairway alleyway, I guess, between two buildings where Hartley showed the bomb shadow on the wall to Sisko. But, yeah, Stein seemed to be holding some kind of little, I don't know, cube with some sort of plasma-looking thing in it, as far as I could tell. I wasn't really sure. So, I don't know, maybe... since he worked at Mercury Labs, right? That's the other one, isn't it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, Mercury Labs.
Maybe he was bringing something over to share with Wells or something. I don't know. But, you know, like maybe he was on his way to coming in and he was, you know, coming up the steps when the explosion went off and... Maybe he was coming over with something that he needed help with.
It's a little particle accelerator warming gift.
Yeah. congratulations. Here's my, new plasma ball of, I combined, two elements together. What was it? It was a transmogrification or something like that. I think Hartley was saying, you know, basically about combining two materials or two pieces of matter together or something like that.
Yes, which is, you know, exactly what Calvin and Hobbes do, the transmogrifier. But yes. They,
maybe that's
okay.
Where I'm pulling that from.
I could be. It, you know, that to me that seems a little odd that at this big particle accelerator turny-onny celebration and he's just showing up to bring something or, I mean, you said help. That would have seemed a little, I think, you know, Caitlin and Sisko probably would have known, even if Wells... was trying to keep something. I don't know. It seems like that would have come out. So I'm thinking it might have been something a little bit more secretive. Maybe he was trying to sabotage or get information or, you know, spy in some way or something like that. So from what I've heard so far about Stein, because they talked a little bit about Professor Stein, I can't remember his name, but when Caitlin was investigating a couple episodes back, that student was talking about Stein a little bit, and he didn't sound like the most appealing guy. So I'm a little suspicious of him and where they're going to go with that. I'm sure we'll learn more.
Well, maybe Professor Stein was undercover for SD6 and was coming over to get some information.
It could be.
Yeah. I think we'll find out more next week, considering that the title of next week's episode is The Nuclear Man. So... I think it has little something to do with Firestorm.
You think
just
so?
Just guessing, yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, well, more of that to come, but it's fun to speculate. Now, I did want to point out a couple kind of cool scenes that I really liked in this, and then I do want to get, of course, yeah, you got to save the emotional finale for toward
last.
The end of our show here.
Yeah.
So, very cool bullet scene. When Peekaboo shot... No, it wasn't Peekaboo.
It was her boyfriend.
Her boyfriend, yeah. Shot at Barry as he was fighting Peekaboo. Now...
Flash is getting fast.
He is getting fast, which is awesome. I mean, it's supposed to be like that, although I'll ask you a question about the fighting Peekaboo and being fast in a minute. But
okay.
Do you remember something like this happening in the comics where, something was shot at him and... Like, do you think it was his reaction to the bullet or the sound or what was it that clued him in that it was getting ready to embed in his neck?
Well, so he was standing there. We were looking at him in close up and you hear the gunshot go off in the background. So he flinches and then we kind of go into, you know, slow motion time, bullet time, right? Kind of like from the Matrix. But I think he heard the gunshot. And he reacted to that, and he started to feel it coming. I'm not sure exactly how that works through a big leather suit or whatever. But, you know, the fact that it was probably putting some pressure on him there.
Had momentum, yeah.
Yeah. But the fact that he's able to, like, kind of just reach back and grab it and I mean, as you see it kind of twisting going into the suit, that was really cool. Now, in the future... Is he going to get to a point where he can just kind of vibrate, hears the gun go off and just vibrate so that the bullet, you know, passes through him? That would be a terrific way to put somebody in a crossfire and you know, have them shoot their friend or something like that.
Ooh, brutal.
Yeah, not that it would be a good thing for somebody necessarily, but avoid Barry getting hit.
Well, one thing I noticed that they're doing in this that maybe I was worried about, and I don't think they did really enough in the 90s series, but they're developing his powers in a way that is – it's different than I expected, you know. I mean, they could have just been doing the super fast speed running stuff, but they're kind of finding new twists to it,
like on the how they up can the building and stuff like that.
Exactly, yeah. That was the other scene I wanted to talk. Oh no, you said of the building, but like the other scene in this one where he was in the tunnel, and he was kind of running along the top of the tunnel, knocking out the lights.
Yeah,
and then he kind of twisted around back and you know did a nice little over the car. Headlight smashing thing.
That was a really cool looking shot where he comes up to the car. It's like he's going fast and then they slow him down to show him breaking the lights. And then he goes fast over the car and then slows down as he turns. I like when they kind of mix and match his speed from just a outsider's viewpoint to his speed from his viewpoint where everything else is going slow. And he's running, but everything else slows down.
Right. Right, and I think that one was even slow motion of his speed when he's running up the car. That was really cool. So I really like those two scenes with the bullet and the tunnel. I thought those were great effects and great way to continue to develop his speed and his powers. Mm-hmm. Question, though.
Yeah.
Okay, so she couldn't disappear if she couldn't see where she was going.
Right.
Why not just put a blindfold on her real fast?
Right. I don't know. And why do the particles that they're looking at in the microscope, when they turn off the light, the particles stop moving? Okay, well, that's not really about her not seeing. It's more that they just react to light.
Oh, and interesting. Yeah.
I mean, then
the blindfold thing wouldn't have worked.
Right.
But
right. So, so maybe... Maybe it's that it doesn't work in the dark. It's that, I don't know. But
yeah. Well, maybe they're misinterpreting maybe she's misinterpreting how her powers work.
And that's possible, yeah. And that'd be great because I'm sure a lot of other people out there listening thought about this. If you've seen the movie Jumper, the transporting effect of the characters in Jumper and with Peekaboo here, very, very similar. The only difference is that in Jumper, the characters can teleport to any place that they can envision. So if they think about the top of the Sphinx and they concentrate it and maybe they have a picture of it, even though they can't physically see it from where they're at, but if they can concentrate on it, they can jump there. Whereas... at least as we know her powers, she has to physically be able to see it. So I would not be able to teleport to the other side of my door here because my door is closed right now and I can't see what's on the other side. Now I might be able to picture what's on the other side and I could jump there if that were how it would work, but that doesn't seem to be what they're presenting to us right now. And I like the idea of the characters saying, hey, this is how my power works, but that doesn't mean that they know how their power works. And
right.
So that they can change, so that the writers can change it around a little bit the next time the character shows up.
Well,
I like that.
Look at Barry. I mean, Barry doesn't even fully understand his powers and hasn't released the full potential yet.
He just runs fast though. Right? it's really when it comes down to it, he just runs fast. I mean, right? What else? Come on.
Flash is cool and Flash has always been cool.
Yeah.
Again, the thing that I wanted to mention with Peekaboo is, look, they've got her in the cell, and it's mirrored, so she can't see outside of the cell, but there is light in that cell, so she may be able to eventually kind of get out of there in some way. But
right. She can obviously teleport in the cell. We've seen that, so.
Yes. Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah,
so,
we saw that. She was like...
But now, again, you know, there's light in there, so if she thinks she can only do it when she can see. But so, you mentioned was it the cells? What were particles? I guess it wasn't cells, was it? Just they said residual particles, biological particles or something like that.
There was some DNA or something. Yeah, just some biological stuff. I don't know. And the fact that, well, because they found like DNA from the prisoner, Clay, but then they found this other material with it, which they determined to be like the, you know, whatever the elements were that causes her to be able to teleport. You know,
right. So now I want to mention that real quickly about Peekaboo's boyfriend there.
Okay.
They found his DNA merging with hers under the microscope. You know, they were like becoming one or having the same properties or something. So
They were saying that it was all kind of because when they were looking at it in the microscope, it was his DNA, but there was something else, and they were merging in some.
Okay,
way.
So now do you think that happened because when she broke him out of jail, she took him with her one time when when she disapparated or whatever, you know?
Ooh, big word.
That's a Harry Potter word. So, so you think that's how it's happening? So, when Flash catches Peekaboo, he disappears.
Right, he just took off. He was gone.
He just took off. My family thinks that he transported. I didn't see any real proof of that, but he is just kind of gone.
He was gone from the car pretty quick. That is an interesting theory, presumption. Okay.
And now I was going to argue with him about it, but I went back and I didn't see any proof that he didn't do that. And they showed that scene with his, you know, molecules or whatever it was, taking on that same properties or becoming one. So they're wondering if he's acquired this ability. But then I'm wondering, wait a minute. She did the same thing with Barry.
Yes. I was going to actually just say that.
She transported him. So, and you know, maybe his molecules are too fast and shed him off or something. But
right. And that's the thing. It's like he's already got a power, so he can't get another power
until
he gives
Heroes.
Up this power. You know, it's like you can only carry so much equipment, and then you have to drop something before you can get something else.
And the only reason I bring it up on our show is just because it's got some potential down the road that maybe he is another threat, and you never know, because if he did disappear, then he's got this power. Maybe he'll come back for her.
Hmm.
All right,
that'd be interesting. And he can be Pika Yogi. Because you got Peekaboo.
Peekaboo, yeah.
Pika Yogi.
Sure.
Mr. Ranger, sir. All right, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that was funny. I was trying to think of a comeback.
Never mind
me. I couldn't top yours. So, all right, so we have some epic karaoke in this episode.
Epic
how you liking
karaoke?
I'm glad that Grant got a chance to show off his singing chops there. But how you liking the lighter, more real life side of the show?
I like
humor.
This. When Cisco said, "Let's go out for a drink," I'm like, "Cool, we get to go out and they get a it's just like a time when the two or three or four characters or whatever can just kind of hang out and talk about just stuff that's going on. It doesn't they're not necessarily solving a problem at the lab. It's not like they're trying to figure out how to catch a bad guy. You know, they're seeing how much Barry can drink and not get drunk or something like that. It's fun. And Barry, I was trying to decide how clueless Barry really was about Linda, and then the fact that Caitlin also seemed to be kind of hitting on him as well. He was just, he was being a real nice guy.
He was a gentleman, definitely. Again, another thing that makes him a hero
is not looking at the goodies.
That's right. I agree with you, and it makes the show. It gives it a more real life connection, and not making it so dark. Keep that stuff up without getting too cheesy, and you'll continue to please people.
Yeah.
All right, so let's talk about Mr. Henry Allen.
Okay.
Wow.
It's good.
Man, my favorite episode with John Wesley Shipp so far. I almost...
He's killing it.
He is.
Doing great.
And I tell you, man, I cannot watch it without picturing him as just an older Flash. I don't think that's where they're going. I there's been speculation I've seen online of people thinking maybe he actually was a Flash, in the younger days and Barry didn't know it, but I don't think they're doing
so
that.
Cool. I know. I don't think they would go that far, No. My thought that I had, because if we do time travel and Barry goes into the future, how cool would it be to have John Wesley Shipp play an older Barry?
Oh, that would be cool.
Because, you know, just that's what he's going to look like when he gets older. But who knows? But, well, yeah, as far as we go here.
For me, it makes the connection between these two, and especially in this scene, so much more powerful because, I mean, even though he wasn't in the show, he was the Flash, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The emotional resonance of the fact that he played the Flash in a previous show, plus just the way that they came to the have this discussion. So first off, five visits to prison now. We've visited Henry Allen in prison five times, and all five times have been very emotional waterwork kind of moments. So, but this one, you know, it's Henry's put himself on the line to help out Joe, you know, to figure out what's going on. And on one of the previous visits, it seemed to be intimated that Henry got a good look at Barry in the costume before Barry started vibrating and blurring himself. So there was some speculation on our part that, you know, maybe he saw him. I mean, it's like if you saw your kid dressed up in a red suit like that, I mean, you're going to recognize who it is. I mean,
definitely.
I think that's kind of a given. And so the fact that he doesn't come out and say it, you know, it's one of those things. I don't think it's because like Henry's not an emotional parent or he doesn't care or anything like that. He just doesn't want to embarrass his son and, you know, put him in that position. But, you know, it is all but apparent that he knows that his son's the Flash, and he still kind of keeps that ruse up. He's like, well, if you were the Flash, this is what I'd say. And it's
not only does he keep the ruse up, but he kind of tells Barry that he knows, but he gives him good advice to tell him that he is supporting what he's doing and that he loves him. But just to know that, you know, I'm thinking about you. Be careful. He's giving him advice and supporting him at the same time.
Yeah.
That's a great skill. Man, I need John Wesley Shipp to come and give me dad training because, I mean, first of all, he doesn't complain about being in jail. He's just happy to know that he's still around and Barry's in good hands. Mm-hmm. and he's not bitter, and he helps even when puts him in danger. What a good dad.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's, like you said, he doesn't complain about being in jail. I mean, however wrongly accused he is, he's just, you know, that's where he's at. And he's, you know, making lemonade out of the lemons, I guess.
Yes. All right.
But
well,
it was really good scene. I know Flash, you know, got nominated or won the best new show for Fans Choice and stuff like this. I really would like to see John Wesley Shipp nominated for some sort of supporting actor role for the
Agreed.
Work that he's doing on the show. So far, I mean, I think this is what a supporting actor does. It's, you know, he's not on every episode, but when he comes in, he just he makes you feel something. He makes you care about these characters and makes you feel something. It's just, I really enjoy that's
the scene they'll play at the award ceremony there. So,
yeah, exactly. I mean, that would be the clip. We have a clip. That's a clip right there.
A clip. All right. Well, real quick here, let's run down because Barry's got this growing threat against him. I mean, he's doing a good job of fighting crime and stopping things and catching people, but there's a lot of things out there that he has not taken care of.
A lot. Well, and also he's becoming known. We saw the couple that he saved at the beginning. They called him. Oh, you know, they said, "Thank you, Flash." And, you know, Shauna knew, "Oh, you're that Flash." It's like, yep. Hey, that's me. I'm a popular guy now.
I got to tell you that really, I think, for me, that reflects the kind of character that he was in the comics. Flash was a very well-loved superhero in his city, you know, in Central City. He was their hero. So
He had statues erected to him, and that's it's been alluded to that there will be stuff like this in the future at some point as well. So
exactly. So that really fits with the character. And so now he's got Pied Piper out there again. He escaped. That didn't take long.
Nope.
And thank you. Thank you for not making Pied Piper a villain of the week. You know, he came back very next week, and he continues to be a threat. Now, you got Ronnie Raymond out there who's, supposedly not going to be a permanent threat. I mean, we're guessing he's going to be a hero eventually, but they don't know anything about him right now. So he does seem like a threat. Then, of course, you ever got, you know, Reverse Flash in the background. He's not going anywhere. That's going to be something huge. Probably around finale time, I'm guessing.
Yeah, pulling a lot of strings in the background and setting stuff up.
Yeah, if it's Harrison Wells. I'm losing ground on that. I'm not going to be able to support my theory very long.
Yeah.
Now, looking like it might have a little Iris as a threat. If she starts to get jealous, but we'll kind of keep an eye on that. So far, nothing to worry about there.
Right. And the one thing I'm worried about her is the fact that she is the, what does she call it? The Flash hack or something like that. That the person that, you know, is presumed to, write all the stories up about the Flash, you know, kind of the Lois Lane to a Superman, set up there. If that is her primary beat, writing up about the Flash and having these little clandestine meetings and stuff like that, there are just so many potential issues that can arise from that.
It puts her in a lot of danger.
It puts her in a lot of danger, definitely, because if someone's, you know, following the Flash or paying any attention to him, as we saw, Hartley was able to figure out where approximately he was running back to and kind of put 2 and 27 together and was able to figure out it was Star Labs. But also you've got the bigger potential of Iris, you know, figuring out that Barry is the Flash.
Yeah.
She's sneaking photos on her smartphone, which, boy, I got to tell you, the new iPhone cameras are amazing.
They are, man. High speed right there. I do know how she could have done that without him knowing, because just taking one shot, that you're never going to get. That's like trying to take a picture of lightning, which I have tried, and it doesn't work.
Right.
But there's two ways you could do it. For you iPhone users, you know, you got the high-speed shutter now where it'll just take them over and over, and that might work. Or you can just do it on video and then take a screenshot of your video.
That
Flash. Also, that's a good way to get good karate action shots, by the way.
Oh, cool.
I know that from experience, not Flash. All right, hey, we cannot forget the very last threat on this growing list. Actually, you know what? I missed a couple because Captain Cold and Heatwave are still out there.
Still out there, yep. But those sewer workers, those guys, watch out.
Well, they need to watch out because we found out, and this is not a preview, so this is not a spoiler. We found out that, of course, who we were expecting to be out there is out there for sure. Grodd.
Grodd. Very cool.
What a great scene. Nice. They showed just enough of him to know exactly what we were going to be looking at and teased how much of a threat he's going to be. Didn't hear him talk.
You know, but that whole sequence was long. I was like, oh, where's he? This is just going to be like one of those little 15-second like pieces, and he's going to jump out, and then they're going to end it. And I'm like,
oh,
and they just kept going, building the tension. I was like, this is great.
I know. I didn't even think he was going to jump out. I thought they were just going to like show his eyes in the dark, and then the scene would end, you know, or something like that. And this was even better. This was even better. And he had Grodd written all over the wall to indicate that he is indeed growing in intelligence or has the intelligence. He could be growing all this time. Remember, Peekaboo, you know, hey, that might have been a good little foreshadowing clue there. Took that long for Peekaboo to develop her powers. Maybe that's why Grodd has been down here so long. He's just been growing smarter and smarter.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, that's a good point. I'm definitely looking forward to that. And there is a very good chance we will see more of Grodd before the end of the season here.
I'm going to be wearing my gorilla suit during the recording of that episode, so just so you know. All right, well, a little bit of feedback I want to share. Not too much, too many long things to read you, but I did want to say Armando did come through for us and remind us what Johnny Quick's speed formula was.
Okay, be careful reading this, please.
I'm going to be very careful. And I gotta ask you a quick question after I read it, because I don't know if I'm reading it correctly.
Okay.
3X29YZ4A.
Okay.
I'm still here, so I must have read it wrong.
Good, okay, yeah.
Either that or I'm back. Now, I always wondered this, and I think I even wondered this when I used to read the comic, but is it, I don't know if it's 3 times 2 or 3X2.
Because they put the big X in there, I think
I was
it's
guessing
3X2.
That's why I read it like that. Now, the other thing I'm wondering, and I don't know how, because, you know, when you see Johnny Quick do it, you just read it.
Right.
Now, the order of operations would state...
Yep. You got to do your parentheticals first.
You do inside there. So 9YZ.
Solve
now
for
then,
that.
Then you got to do the outside the multiplication or division. But since they're all together, I'm guessing that's multiplication. So 9YZ, 3X2, 4A. Oh!
Woo!
No, I'm
there
still here. No, it didn't work. I got to practice.
That's great. Well, thanks, Armando.
Yeah, thank you. I'll keep working on it. Maybe I have to say it with some inflection or something. I also wanted to say on Twitter, Tim reminded us that February 11th is indeed Flash Appreciation Day. At least we can celebrate it. So Wednesday, February 11th this year, Flash Appreciation Day. You can still sign the petition. It is up. Get this, it is up. They have more signatures. They're up to 733.
Very good. Yeah, that's at whitehouse.gov, I believe.
Yeah, only 99,267 to go. Mm. So,
good luck, guys.
Yeah, they still got a little time.
Yeah. Might have to call in the reserves on that one.
All right. Well, I pontificated on the craziness of love and Henry Allen's crazy love for his son so long. We don't have a whole lot of time left, but there were a few references in here.
Just a few. Peekaboo is actually based on a character in the comic books created by Jeff Johns. And she's got teleportation-based powers and stuff like this. But, they changed the story around just a little bit.
Sure.
Sisko mentioned to Hartley that Hartley is not the only one who understands vibrations, which is a nice subtle reference to Sisko Ramon's alter ego in the comics, Vibe, who is a vibration earthquake-based character. After Barry got shot, he mentions that he is faster than a speeding bullet, a catchphrase for a very famous DC superhero.
Also a little... Now, remember, Flash is in the comics. Flash is faster than Superman.
Okay, so... All right, I'm not going to get into that now.
We can talk about that.
I have the entire trade paperback reprinting all of the races between Superman and the Flash, and... Superman let Flash win, by the way. I will just point that out. So at least in probably the one you're thinking of. Anyway.
Okay. This is Grant Gustin, summer debate. Summer debate.
Okay. I think they both... I think it's... All right. Anyway. Grant Gustin got to sing prior to his role here on The Flash. He was a member of the ensemble for Glee. So he actually, does actually have singing ability. We got a reference to Black Hawk Security. That was a group that first showed up in Arrow, and they provide security for banks and stuff like that. But in the comic books, Black Hawk is a World War II squadron that fights and gets into altercations and stuff like that. They're usually a good group of people. In Arrow, there was one of the guys was a bad guy, but that's not typical. And then Barry vibrates the door of the car at the beginning of the episode off its hinge, so he's getting to that point where he can use his powers, like you were pointing out earlier, in all sorts of different ways. And then not necessarily a comic reference, but Barry mentions that Clay pulled a Shawshank, which is his way of saying he kind of disappeared out of the cell without a trace, which is a reference to the Shawshank Redemption with Tim Robbins.
Hmm. So. All right. Well, some good. Like, they keep pulling out those lines, like the Ghostbusters line and the Shawshank thing. So that's kind of cool too.
I like the little pop culture references. I mean, it's a way to you know, kind of pander a little bit to the geekiness of the audience and stuff like that.
But you say pander, I say it's more realistic. I mean, that's how you and I talk to each other, so why not?
That is true. Live long and prosper.
Well, thank you. Yeah, peace and nanu nanu and all that stuff. So, all right. All right, well, it is time. It is the end of another show. Jay and I have to run.
So, well, we're glad you were able to join us. And, Josh, I'm glad we had the chance to sit down and talk about this. If you guys enjoyed the episode, please be sure to leave feedback for us on iTunes. You can also email us at scarletvelocity@randomchatter.com. Or please feel free to tweet us at Scarlet Velocity on Twitter. Or you can visit the Great Conversations on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Scarlet Velocity Podcast.
Hey, also don't forget to check out our shows Green Justice and Arrow Podcast and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Case Files. And you can find those at randomchatter.com. And also all of our shows are available on the iTunes Store and through Stitcher for Android or iOS. And of course, if you enjoy this podcast, please, please make sure you are sharing it with your friends. We love spreading the word and having lots of fun, and we love hearing back from everybody, too. That makes this show a lot of fun. So thank you very much for doing that for us. All right, well, that is it. Remember, life moves pretty fast. If you don't stop and look around once in a while, you could miss it. This podcast is not endorsed by Warner Brothers Television or DC Entertainment. The official website for The Flash can be found at www.cwtv.com. The Flash and related elements are copyright DC Entertainment and Warner Brothers Television.